And I really like the way that's framed, because when you think of a stay, you think of like being at a hotel or being someplace at a resort. You have a stay. And when the stay is over, it's time for you to leave. We have a stay here on earth, and but it's not forever. And I am thankful that we don't have to worry about where we're checking out to. We know where we're checking out to. And in fact, this morning I wanted to start off by sharing my thanksgiving. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And time to time I like to start my message off with my own thanksgiving to him. Thank you, Lord, for helping me make the most important decision of my life, the wisest decision of my life, and for making me an eternal champion. I am a winner because Christ is my victory. No one can reverse what he has done for me. No one can change who he is to me or who I am to him. No one can steal or even tarnish what is mine in him. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. And in accordance with 1 Peter 1:8-9, though I have not seen him, I love him. And even though I do not see him now, I believe in him and am filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For I am receiving the goal of my faith, the salvation of my soul. And Jesus said, though everything may be going well, though you may be seeing great spiritual success, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Amen. So I am thankful this morning that I am on my way. And I am thankful that you all are on your way with me, that we're all going together. We're traveling the King's highway. It says a highway to heaven. It says none can walk up there but the pure in heart. You see, we are pure because of Jesus Christ, not because we're trying to make it, but because Jesus has made it for us. Never let anything, Mother Teresa once said, never let anything dim your joy over the resurrected Christ. And boy, if that is not the truth, keep yourselves rooted in the joy of the Lord, the unchanging grace of the living God towards you, towards me. Nothing is better. Nothing is more solid. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Today's message is titled, Maximizing Your Power at Work, Part 2. We took a break last week for Mother's Day for a Mother's Day blessing. But as you recall, the first week in May, as we launched this series on the workplace, we talked about maximizing your power at work, and I said this may be the name of the entire series. I hadn't decided, but now I have decided, and it is the title of the rest of the series. So this is part two. And 2 weeks ago, we read about how Daniel had described King Nebuchadnezzar's dream and then interpreted it. And saved the day, really, for he and all of his colleagues who were in the service of King Nebuchadnezzar, including his three friends. And so today what we're going to look at is what happened immediately after this glorious and this miraculous event. What happened? And what can we learn from it? What can we apply through that? Or from that to our present situations in our own work environment. So if you'll turn with me to Daniel chapter 2, we're going to pick it up in verses 46 through 49. Daniel chapter 2, verses 46 through 49. Daniel is right after Ezekiel. Daniel chapter 2, starting in verse 46. Okay, after this amazing display of the supernatural by Daniel, it says, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. So if you're taking notes this morning, the main idea that I want to develop from the text is the Lord is always a greater blessing than the blessing he gives. If you take nothing else from this morning's message, if someone asks you, what did Pastor Dan talk about? Well, it was maximizing your power in the workplace, part two. And the main idea that he wanted us to reflect on this week, that he wanted us to share with one another, that he wanted us to encourage one another with, that he wanted us to take into our private prayer time with the Lord to internalize more fully. The thing that he really had on his heart, that he had prayed about, and ask the Lord to help him to convey the main idea. The Lord is always a greater blessing than the blessings he gives. So after Daniel had successfully told the king what his dream was, and after he had then interpreted the dream, Nebuchadnezzar was, to say the least, impressed. So impressed that he lavished many gifts on Daniel. It says that he gave him honor, he gave him a high position, gave him many gifts, gave him some authority, and he took care of his friends. He even allowed Daniel to take care of his friends. Those guys prayed. We prayed together. We were all in this together. Daniel didn't forget his friends. He said, okay, Nebuchadnezzar, since you're in such a generous mood, while we got this thing going, I also ask that you take care of my boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because, you know, they were in this with me. They were behind the scenes, but they were with me in this. So Nebuchadnezzar obliged him. But there was trouble brewing. There was trouble brewing, as we'll see next week. This is sort of a teaser. This is sort of a preview of next week. There was trouble brewing because, you know, what you're going to see next week is when you're celebrating, when you're celebrating, everybody who is smiling with you is not smiling for you. Okay? Smiling faces can, what did the undisputed truth say? Tell lies. Everybody lifting their glass is not toasting you. And we're going to talk about that next week. But this week, what we want to focus on is what was going on in Daniel and what was going on in his friends when the king had given them these marvelous gifts, when their status instantly changed from being on the chopping block to being at the top of the heap. What happened? What was going on with them? What we will see is that they were well grounded. Daniel and his friends were well grounded. They knew what they were about. And they never lost sight of the fact that the Lord was their greatest blessing. See, even with all the lavish attention and all of the approbation coming from the king, they were well grounded, and they never forgot that the Lord is always greater than the blessings that he gives. Now, I'm not going to this morning, just to give you a heads up, I'm not going to demonize work success. It's not going to happen. We don't have to be ashamed of the fruit of our hard work. You don't have to be ashamed that people think that you're doing a great job. You don't have to be afraid of embracing the fact that you're skillfully managing your relationships and are being rewarded accordingly. A lot of times when pastors, myself, and my colleagues, when we start talking about work, it's like work becomes the devil. Work is God's arch enemy. But work is not necessarily God's arch enemy. And the fruit of your labor is not necessarily an apple from the tree or a fruit from the forbidden tree. Enjoy it when things are great. I'm sure Daniel enjoyed the many gifts that he received. There's no indication in the scripture that he refused any of what Nebuchadnezzar was offering him. I can see him and his three buddies jumping up and down. I can see they were young men, so I don't think that they kind of got this thing sort of with a stoic sort of blasé sort of an attitude. I think when they found out what was coming their way, they were like, what? What? No! And I don't know what the equivalent of a fist bump was back then, but they were fist bumping and high-fiving, jumping up and down. Are you kidding me? Wait, I can't believe it. You know, I can just see their faces light up when Daniel broke in with the news. Hey, guys, let me tell you what happened. Y'all were praying. This is what happened. Check this out. No. What? I really do imagine. I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, if that happened to you, would you walk out of the room with your fingers laced? Saying, and blessed be the name of the Lord. You would be somewhere just, yes, yes. Amen? I mean, you have gone from, oh, Lord, we might lose our lives, to what? Administrators over the whole province of Babylon? Us? Oh, wow. Man. Check that out. You'd be texting people and letting everybody know, taking selfies and showing yourself. Check out my office, you know. They were people like us, so I am sure they enjoyed their success. You know, Daniel was reaping the benefits of the work of the Lord. The Lord did this. And Daniel was reaping the benefits. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they knew the Lord had done it. Even Nebuchadnezzar knew it. Because before he lavished him with the gifts, you can look at what it says. It says, he said to Daniel, your God is a revealer of mysteries. So even Nebuchadnezzar knew that this was not Daniel's doing per se. It was the God that Daniel served. So, what's going on with you? What's going on in your workplace? What successes specifically? We'll talk about that other stuff later. But I'm talking about what successes are you experiencing in your work world? Doing a great job? Brought in a lot of business. Things have been better because of you. Changed the environment. Got a designated parking spot. Nice bonus. Trying to figure out what you want to do with it. Nice bonus. Private restroom, maybe. Semi-private. Company car. Maybe just high praise from the boss. Maybe just high praise from the boss. His or her confidence that you're the go-to person. You can be counted on. You're a game changer. You're a player. Maybe the Lord just provided you some relief, right? Maybe he just provided you some relief, or maybe you avoided a major disaster. And now you're in a peaceful place, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In a peaceful place. When my wife retired a few years back, she received a lifetime award, achievement award. What was that thing called? Lifetime, what was it? A silver something. But she was invited to two separate banquets to celebrate her work career. And I went to both of them. And I was up in there just to celebrate. Yeah! Go, baby! You go. You deserve it. You're the beast on the job, baby. I know. I see your work. I'm celebrating. I'm happy. And I'm thankful to God. See, God gets no pleasure watching us in miserable working conditions. I want to say that again. God gets no pleasure watching us in miserable working conditions, stressed, distressed, oppressed, depressed. That gives him no pleasure. Now, those conditions sometimes may be necessary. Those conditions sometimes may be necessary for what is to follow. Exhibit A, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God had a bigger plan on the other side of this terribly distressing situation. But he wasn't laughing and joking and sitting back and being gleeful about the fact that Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel were deeply distressed by this. You know why I say that? Because the scripture tells us in Psalms, in all their distress, he too was distressed. Speaking of the Israelites' time in bondage in Egypt, in all their distress, all those 400 years that they were burdened, that they were worried, that they were being mistreated, God was not sitting up in heaven twiddling his thumbs. In all their distress, he too was distressed. You carry that over into the New Testament and we see the classic passage in Hebrews 4 where the Lord tells us that he sympathizes with our weaknesses, that he is feeling with us, right along with us as we are going through things. Have you thought about that? That the Lord is feeling what you are feeling as you are going through whatever it may be. He has chosen to connect himself with us. He chose to do this, to connect himself with us, not just intellectually, not just spiritually, but emotionally. And so what you feel, he feels. Wait a minute. Is that the truth, Pastor Dan? In all their distress, he too was distressed. The Holy Spirit living inside of each one of us is not just a battery. He's a person. And he is experiencing along with us our life episodes. And that is why he has compassion upon us. So God doesn't get any pleasure from seeing us all stressed out. Whatever it is that makes your world at work enjoyable, enjoy it. Whatever it is in your world of work that you find enjoyable, enjoy it. And don't let the evil one make you think there's something insidious about enjoying it. There's nothing biblical that says that. That's bad teaching, bad theology, and frankly, that's just the evil one getting in our ear to wreak havoc and create misery. But there are caveats. There are dangers. There are precautions when it comes to work. There are precautions that come with every blessing. There are warning labels on every blessing we receive from the Lord. Anything can become an idol. Anything can become an idol. And an idol is anything that we begin to trust in and depend on. Specifically for what? Trust in and depend on for our security, our significance, or our happiness. Where we are dependent, not just kind of receiving some joy from it, not just enjoying it, but where we are depending on it and trusting in it for our security, for our status. Our security, our happiness, and our significance. That's what I wanted to say. You name the blessing, and if you think about it, you'll find this to be true. You think about whatever blessing it is. It can become an idol. It can become the thing we begin to trust in for our security, for our significance. Our kids can become idols. We're trusting in them for our significance, for our security. For our happiness. And so it is with the world of work. See, because the situation that you thought was so secure can change overnight. I don't care what it is. Anything other than the Lord Himself that we are trusting in for security, for significance, or for happiness can change overnight. Towards the end of my wife's work career, and I'm just using my wife here as an example, towards the end of her career, she ran into some strange and stormy waters. Because for most of her work career, all of her work career really, she was seen as the star. She was seen as the person that you could depend on, the one that was going to make the catch. You know, the one that they would say, are you sure this is okay? Check it out with. Check it. Pass it through Laverne. She was that person. But towards the end of her career, things got kind of, as we used to say back in Saginaw, kind of funky. Different boss came on the scene and changed her whole disposition. It was almost like Joseph, you know, when Joseph was in Egypt and Pharaoh was very generous towards the Israelites. And then that Pharaoh died and another Pharaoh showed up. That knew nothing about all that Joseph stuff, and there's a new sheriff in town now. Well, a new sheriff came to town in her work world. And boy, I remember she come home just burdened, distressed, troubled, didn't want to go to work for the first time in her career. Work became an onerous thing. Amen. Amen. And that is why the Lord wants us to not invest in things that are changeable. Don't just be aware that things can change. Make it your goal to be prepared for when they change. Don't just think that things could change. Make it your goal to be prepared for when they change, because they will change. They will change. Somebody once wisely said, success is written in ice. And eventually the sun comes out. It's just the truth. From the moment that Daniel and his friends were rewarded, from that moment, trouble was in the oven cooking. But as we're going to see again next week, when conditions change, they didn't allow the changing conditions to change them. They were prepared. They were prepared for the change. Now, I'm not saying they predicted it. None of us can predict it. It may be tomorrow, it may be 2 years from now, it may be 10 years from now, but things will change as it changed for them. But they were prepared for it. And what changed for them? It was absurd. This was unthought of. This was unthinkable. The unthinkable happened for them. Before the wise men, when the king first told the wise men in his regular employ before he called Daniel in, he said, I want you to tell me the dream, and then I want you to tell me the interpretation. They said, nothing like this has ever been asked of anybody. This is a ridiculous request, respectfully speaking, Sir King. But it had ramifications for their lives that they could not have anticipated. Things will change. So be prepared for the change. How do we prepare? How do we prepare? Number one, first, enjoy the perks of your job success wisely. Enjoy the perks of your job success wisely. Don't make your job your status badge. Don't make your job your it is a snare. It's fool's gold. It's a trap. It's a trick. It's treacherous. It's of the devil. It's of the devil. Don't derive your significance or your security from it. Don't let it go to your head. Don't think it belongs to you, because it's only on loan. It is only on loan. When you begin to believe that you own it, you're no longer enjoying the perks of your job wisely. You have slipped over the border into foolishness. Come back. President Bush was on late night. He was on late night, one of these late night programs a while back. And he was just, he was the most lovable dude in the world. I mean, whether you voted for President Bush or didn't vote for President, whatever you thought about him, when he was on late night, he was kicked back, had his legs crossed, and he was just the most, you just want to sit down, take him out to dinner and talk to him. He was just so relaxed. He was cool. He was like, hey, I'm out of that thing. I'm a brand new me. I'm letting my hair down. He was having a good time sitting there. But I remember something he said, it was very poignant. He said, you know the difference between being in the White House and not being in the White House? He said, when you're in the White House, and he was cool about it. He said, when you're in the White House, everything, everybody's at your beck and call. You want it, you ask for it, they bring it to you. When you're out of the White House, get it yourself. Get it yourself. And if you are all hooked up and hooked into people being at your beck and call, and then you got to get it yourself, you go through some shock. If you thought you owned that situation, if you thought you owned it, this is mine. This is how it's supposed to be. This is the normal order of things in light of my brilliance. I'm irreplaceable. So how do we enjoy it on loan? How do we enjoy it as a loan instead of as our own? See, that's why the number one focus of this ministry, and that is why as long as Dan Beatty is pastor of Valley Brook Community Church, you are going to hear this over and over and over again. I'm going to try to dress it up a little bit for y'all so y'all don't just sound like I'm saying the same thing, but it is the same thing over and over again in a different kind of a way. How do you enjoy it on loan without making it your quote-unquote own? I'll just read it to you. Ephesians 1:17. Paul says this. He prays this for the church at Ephesus. And this is my prayer for you. This is my prayer for me. See, this is my job. It's more than my job, but this is my job. And I pray this for me. This job is on loan. Say, well, boy, God called you, yeah, but I didn't know that he called me to be here forever. I will talk about that in a minute. I am about as uncertain about my future as anybody else. Because nothing is guaranteed. You see, again, no situation is guaranteed. Just because God put you there doesn't mean that God wants to keep you there. That's just not the way it is. He may have some other things for you, some other places for you to be. Anyway, Ephesians 3:17, I keep asking. 1:17, I'm sorry, yes, 1:17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. That's how. The more we get to know him, the more he becomes to us, the more we begin to get our significance, our security, and our happiness from him. The less we detach from other things as the defining qualities of our lives. I got to have this thing or my life is messed up. We begin to move away. We move out of that orbit into the orbit of I've got him. I've got him and I've got everything. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? What shall I fear? What can man do to me? I wish I could give you a list of five things that you could kind of just magically do, but it's relational. It's about your relationship with the living God. It is about your relationship with the risen Christ. And Paul says, I keep on praying for you, Ephesians. I keep on praying, and I am continuing to pray for you, Valley Brook. And I'm praying for me, and I want you to pray for me, that the Lord would help us to know him better. This is not just about so that we can walk around with a silly grin on our faces. It's bigger than that. It is life transforming. It shapes our whole perspective, not just on our jobs, but on our marriages, on our kids, on our own health, on our finances. He changes the way we look at life overall. The more we get to know him, the more he changes who we are. So the way that you invest in receiving it as a blessing and enjoying it as being on loan, Instead of this is my own and hoarding it, trying to squirrel it away, scared it's going to be taken away. The more we transfer rightly our faith to Him as the source of our security, our significance, and our happiness, the less attached we will be to things in the wrong way. See, He belongs to you. Your job doesn't belong to you, but He belongs to you, and you belong to Him, and nothing can separate you from that belongingness. Nothing can separate you from belonging to Him and Him belonging to you. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And because He is mine, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I told the Lord the other morning, I said, Lord, You're my status symbol. You are my status symbol. Not what I drive, not where I live, not how big my church is, not how well my kids are doing. So I was talking to a brother, not who knows my name. You are my status symbol, and I would have it no other way. I really would not. Verse I quote often, Jeremiah 9, this is what the Lord says, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me. That's your status. You know and understand me. And Galatians 6:14 says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And again in Philippians, but whatever was to my profit, whatever status I had, Paul said, because in Paul's world, he was at the top. He was the man. If you want to think of it in terms of a work environment, Paul was the superstar in his work environment. And somehow, through his relationship with the Lord, he got to this point where he said, whatever was to my profit, I consider that loss for the sake of Christ. What's more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things, and I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Second, remember the nature of our God. Remember who it is that we're dealing with. Remember the nature of our God, not just when trouble hits, but every day review His greatness. That's called praise. Review His greatness. And that's why praise is so important, because telling the Lord how great He is isn't for His ego. It's faith maintenance for us. It's not about the Lord's ego. It's faith maintenance for us. It helps us to feel secure about what and who we're trusting in. That's why the scripture says, praise the Lord all over the place. That's why it says, give thanks all over the place, because it's faith maintenance for us. See, when your status is rooted in the right place, which for Daniel and for us is in the right person, you cannot lose. You cannot lose, even if you lose everything you own in life. Even if you lose everything you own in life. And I have been a place in my life where it has felt like I have lost everything in life. So I'm not just talking about what I'm reading on a piece of paper here. I have been there. I have seen it. As they say, I've been there, stayed there, came away from there, and I've got the T-shirt, as they say. I have been here where it has felt to me like everything I own in life has been lost. See, because they can't take away the life giver. You see, and the Lord can speak life anywhere he is. He can speak life into the most barren of places. He's the one who spoke life into the universe. He spoke light. He spoke the very creation itself with a word. He spoke into nothing, and everything showed up. That's who we serve. That's the nature of our God. On Christ, thank you for singing that, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The nature of our God is he calls himself, I'm the rock. Who is a rock besides me? Where can you stand besides me that will never give away, that'll never shift, and nobody can pick up and misplace? I am the living rock. I'm the eternal rock. We need to know the nature of our God. And then other things become so much less important and so much less threatening. Our situation, we feel ourselves liberated. Remember the nature of our God. Remember who he is. You belong to him, and he belongs to you. Remember who it is to whom you belong. And remember who it is who belongs to you. Remember his nature. You see, because we can't expect big things from a teeny God. We can't expect big things from a God we don't even see. So praise helps us to see him. You see, it helps us to see him for who he is. That's why your heart is enlightened and enlivened when we praise. Because God shows up on the screen of our conception and we see him. And we say, wow, praise you, Jesus. Oh, I could stay there, but I'm going to move on to the last point because we got to eat. Third and finally, understanding that you're always going to have a job in him. Because your significance and your security and your happiness is now not attached to your job description or your job station. You have a job for the rest of your life in him. You have a job throughout all of eternity in him. You never need to worry about significance. You got a job. You have been employed by the Most High God. In his environment, in his kingdom, there is zero unemployment. What I'm talking about when I say a job is not just busyness. I'm not talking about your job at the church. That may be part of it, but it's bigger than your job at the church. The job you have for him is a job that he gave you before the world was formed. The job he gave you was one before you were even formed in the womb, before you were even thought of. And it says in Ephesians 4 these words. And this is one of the things with our altar up here. There are three things that this altar represents. Lord, help us to know you better. And number two, help us to love each other. And number three is this one right here. Ephesians 4, and I'm looking at verse 17, or let's say 15. Actually, I'm going to back up to 14. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, every supporting ligament, that's you, every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, and here's you again, as each part does its work. See, Jesus is doing something much bigger than the details of everyday life. What Jesus is about building up his kingdom. What Jesus is about is building up his body. Just as when he was on earth, he had a bigger objective than just the minutia of everyday life. He was about building his kingdom. And he has called us into fellowship with him, the scripture says, to be partners with him, it says in Philippians chapter 1, or that we've been called to be partners with him. And so as he does his work globally, universally, each one of us has been called to be a part of that work. You have been designed by him, Ephesians 2:10 tells us. You've been designed by him specifically to accomplish that work. It doesn't matter whether you're in Maryland. It doesn't matter whether you're in California. It doesn't matter whether you're in Florida or if you're in what's the farthest place north in Canada, whatever that place is. It doesn't matter if you're in Africa. Your job is bigger than any job description. Your job is bigger than any employer, any work situation. And that is what you were created for. You were created for that job. You say, well, this job, what I got now, I'm tailor-made for that job until it changes, until it disappears, right? Because you don't own that. But you own the job the Lord has given you. You own that. That's never going to be taken away from you. Doesn't matter what changes in you. You can be on a sick bed, barely able to move, and your job goes on. And your significance goes on. And it's not because you're doing stuff. It's because God has created you to be a part of this magnificent thing that he is doing, building his kingdom. So I have more to say, but I'll say that next week. I am done, and God bless you.